Good morning, my name is Karen and I will be reading all of Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms, to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," I replied. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." The word of the Lord came to me again, "What do you see?" "I see a pot that is boiling," I answered. "It is tilting toward us from the north." The Lord said to me, "From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms," declares the Lord. "Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshipping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today, I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord.
Thanks, Karen. I wonder if I was to ask you this morning to just see what comes up in you if I say the following to you. If you are a Christian, or if you were to become one, as I hope you would, unashamedly, before you were born, long before you were born, God knew you. And he knew that the highest purpose of your life would be knowing him and showing him, speaking, as it were, his word to the world. Think for a second, how does that strike you, I guess? You may, I'm guessing here, perhaps think, well, nah, me. Maybe this is totally the whole God thing is so far out of your frame of reference, but Maybe the God thing is in your frame of reference. You are a believer, but still it kind of sounds a little bit too I don't know, a bit too lofty, maybe? A little bit too... I just don't really see how that makes sense, that my life is about knowing God and showing God to the world around me. Speaking, as it were, the purpose of my life is to communicate God, who He is, what He's like, to the world around me, my world around me, right? And I want to suggest to you this morning that that's exactly what your life's purpose is about. Come with me as we look at Jeremiah, the guy who we meet here today. His name is Jeremiah. He's a prophet, one of the prophets. And remember, the whole thing about prophets is that this is God speaking to the world through prophets. And I'll connect the whole lot, Jeremiah, to you and me in a moment. But our story, our chapter this morning begins with God saying exactly this to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, before you were born, I set you apart. I decided that your life is going to be a prophet, to speak me and my word to your world. Now, don't get me wrong. I just want to clarify how it works for us. There's not a direct line between Jeremiah and us, if you're a Christian. The real prophet whom God sends into the world in history is Jesus Christ, Hebrews says. In these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son. His Son, who came to live the life we should have lived in our place, died our death on the cross, so that if we believe in Him, our sins are forgiven, and God comes and He lives in you and He lives in me, and He starts to change us and transform us. And He makes our lives completely about Him, really, one way or another. And so as you are a Christian, Jesus lives. And He speaks to the world in you and through you. That's how it works for us. It's the purpose of the church, right? I love this verse in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 20, I think it is. It's talking about the church. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us, as though God wants to speak to the whole world through the church. The purpose of your life in Christ is knowing God and showing God. That's it. That's where our highest and most noble purpose of our life is about. And you may say, well, okay, well, what does that look like for me? Of course, that's a big area of conversation. How does my life, your life, ordinary as we are, show God to those around us? We need to think about what it looks like as we live our lives as spouses, as friends, as children, through the work we do, our vocations, all of these things. In a way, you spend the rest of your life, if you're a Christian, working out how God is showing the world around you Himself through what you do in every aspect of your life, right? So it's a big, broad dimension. Showing God is not limited to doing what I'm doing right now, preaching. No, it's everything about your life. How does it declare God and His word to those around you? But you may say, okay, I'm just not really sure about all that stuff. I'm not really sure how my life declares and speaks and shows God around me. You might say, I'm not really even sure that I am, well, if I'm really honest, how much do I trust this word of God? We're talking about a complete and wholehearted commitment to the Christian life. A complete and wholehearted commitment to knowing God and showing God and saying, that is the purpose of my life. And you may well say, well, I'm not really quite sure about that. Jeremiah as a prophet for his work and his word that he had to speak to his people in his time. He very much was not sure about that. I don't know if you picked that, you know, in the passage that Karen read. He said, oh, I'm young. Oh, I don't know. I'm just me. No, he was really reluctant. It was pretty... You could feel that. You could feel his doubt, his uncertainty that he can speak the word that he had to speak to the people of his time. I think you and me, when we think of our lives, how God is calling us to live our lives, feel the same way for various reasons. And therefore we need, I think, the same sort of things that Jeremiah needed. He needed three things that he needed to hear from God in his call to his life of prophecy, of being a prophet. I think you need to hear three things from God to your life as a Christian. Living out your life as a Christian, to allow God to speak through you and in you, right? Three things, wonderful things that God shows Jeremiah and us. And so I'll go through them one by one. I'll talk a little bit about what it meant for Jeremiah, but what it might then mean for us today as well. God shows Jeremiah three pictures that he needs to know. The first one is an almond tree, right? He asks him, Jeremiah, what did you see? And he says, I saw an almond tree. And what I want you to have here in your mind is... a springtime picture of a fruit tree that is starting to blossom. And I love that picture, particularly living in Tasmania. That's a great sign when we start seeing fruit trees to blossom, because when we see our fruit trees starting to sprout and blossom, we know that spring is coming and that summer is coming. And so in a sense, what we do is we watch those trees. I got one outside my bedroom window. I watch it with a hawk eye to see it sprouting and budding, because as soon as I do, I know something is coming. And here's the thing. I can't stop it from coming. Can you stop spring from coming? Try. This is what God is saying to Jeremiah. He's saying, as you watch this almond tree budding and blossoming, and you know that spring is coming and you can't stop it, so my word and my work and what I am doing in the world and on you and in you and through you will not be stopped. My word and my work is unstoppable, God says to Jeremiah. I don't know how often I need to hear that from God. How often we struggle because we doubt whether it's truly worth living my life completely in surrender to the purposes of God. Right? Is he worth it? Are the sacrifices worth it? Is it worth taking my faith so seriously? Right? What a wonderful thing that God graciously means to Jeremiah that the first of the three pictures he gives him is this promise of certainty. It's saying, Jeremiah, whatever I'm going to ask you to speak to the people of your day, mate, speak it. And you should know, and his stuff was not comfortable. We'll get to a bit of that later. He had to say a bunch of stuff and do a bunch of stuff that got him in all sorts of hardships. He had more reason than us and you and me to doubt whether it's worth speaking the words that he was given. Right? And God starts by saying, Jeremiah, you should know, first of all, watch the almond tree. It will come and it will happen. Who I am, who I say I am, that I am. What I have done, that I have done. And what I will do, that I will do. That's what God is saying to Jeremiah. Can I just encourage you? If you are struggling to hold on or justify into living your life as a Christian, will you please look this spring at the trees around us here? Look at the promises that God has made to you. He promised that He will put your life back together if it's broken. He'll restore it. He'll make it new. He promises it to you in Colossians 1 verse 4. He promises you forgiveness of all your sins. All your sins, past, present, and failure, as we struggle still as Christians to live out the way we even want to live ourselves. He says, no, you come to me again and again and again to the cross where I have atoned for your sins. Bring it, bring it, bring it. Bring today's sins, bring tomorrow's sins, bring all your failures. Come again and again. I am faithful and true, 1 John 1 verse 9. I will forgive them. He promises to give you the Holy Spirit. Immense power to change into the wonderful person that He wants to make you. It's a promise. It's solid, right? Acts 2 verse 39. He promises you comfort when you mourn, mercy when you're merciful, filled with righteousness. If you hunger and thirst for what is good and right, God will fill you in that. He will. He promises to give you wisdom in James 1 verse 5 and 6. He promises to never leave you, never forsake you, always with you, no matter what. He promises one day to transform our bodies into glorious resurrection bodies where we will live with Him forever. Do you know what these things are? Blossoms on the tree. Stuff that God is doing, that He won't stop doing, and that He will continue doing. And so press on. These things are not going to stop because God has said, I'm not going to stop it. Right? God's word, God's work is unstoppable, is what the almond tree means. It's the first thing God chose Jeremiah. Second thing, is a boiling pot. Very interesting image, really. Boiling pot from the north, and it's tilting towards us. The Lord said to me, this is Jeremiah, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. This is in the southern part of Israel. And I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Now, this is an uncomfortable image, and Jeremiah had to spend a lot of his life delivering this message. It's a message of judgment, essentially. Message where Jeremiah needs to say, look, God's word to us means that we need to change our lives. We need to love Him wholeheartedly, completely. And whatever else it is that we love more than Him, we need to pull out of that, and we need to put into Him. We need to learn what it means to love Him entirely, completely, living, knowing Him, and showing Him. And the people of Israel in Jeremiah's day very much stopped doing that. Now, we've been there in the last few weeks. If you've been coming to Pathway, I don't want to rehash all of the sort of stuff that happened in the nation of Israel. Suffice it to say, there are a bunch of people, I think, who knew a glory of God who was their Father, who loves them. He called them into this wonderful life with them, but they started to love other stuff more, simply, plainly put. And again, God says to them, come on, love me. I am your glory. I love how He says it in Jeremiah chapter 2, actually. Jeremiah says this words. He says, my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Romans says about us, that we've exchanged the truth about God for a lie. This is what we do. It's our struggle in the human heart. And the boiling pot message is saying simply, look, for as long as you love other stuff more than me, the consequences are basically always going to be pretty dire for you. For Israel, that meant other nations coming down from the north, Babylonians first, then Persia and a bunch of others. And they were attacked. It was war. Didn't go well for them. They were exiled. They had to go and live in Babylon for a long time, and slowly they come back and they rebuild. And these were, in time and space, what it looked like for them to have the boiling pot tilted on them. For us, look, it manifests in various ways in our lives. God tells us in Romans that if we pursue lives outside of Him, He hands us over. We pursue pleasure, joy in Him, in sex, money, power, the stuff we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, we become handed over to the power of those things. Highly dissatisfied human beings, self-destructing, but ultimately being destroyed under the hand of God. Get out of it. That's what God says. Get out of it. Get out of that stuff and get into me, right? Change your life. Why would you live under a boiling pot that's tilting towards you? Get out of it. Change, repent. Learn what it means to love me. Know me and show me, right? That's the second picture of Jeremiah. We had an almond tree, we had a boiling pot, and now the last one. Jeremiah still feels a bit unsure. He says, ooh, I don't know if I can live this life. And God shows him this picture of, I'm saying, a bronze wall, but it's sort of a series of things, a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall. You see, the reality is, if you're going to live this life that knows God and that shows God, you're going to find a load of opposition. There's a load of stuff that's going to push back against that. Jeremiah, his rap sheet of what he had to cop for the message he had to give to his people was insane. He was basically attempted murders on him from people in his hometown. He was chucked into a cistern, a water cistern one day, in which he had to live, and he nearly drowned in the mud if it wasn't for some guy who thankfully pulled him out. And for 40 years, he just carried on this ministry of delivering God's word to the world around him with such pushback, such seemingly lack of fruit. And after that 40 years, he's moved off to Egypt, where he dies in Egypt of all places, Jeremiah. After a faithful life of 40 years, seeking to know God and show God, that's all he got. So when we're saying push back on wanting to live this life, we need to be mindful that it's severe pushback. Some of you have to live those lives. I don't know how God works these things out, but for some people, the opposition and the hardship of pressing into the Christian life is extremely difficult. You cop extreme flack for it. Extreme discouragements along the way, right? And so you battle. You battle the pushback of the world. We battle the pushback of our own flesh, our own sin, that keeps saying, nah, nah, nah. We battle the pushback ultimately of Satan and spiritual evil in the world. And so in the face of all of this opposition, what does God do for you as a Christian? What a wonderful promise. Again, I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand. You will stand, brother. You will stand, sister. You will see this through to the end. Do you know why? Because you can't stop the almond tree from blossoming. God's promises and His goodness to His people. Yes, this is going to be tough, excruciatingly so, but you'll stand. You'll stand because I say you'll stand and I will make you stand. It's a wonderful promise for Jeremiah. He saw it through, lifetime, 40 years of disappointments in this world by the world's standards. But by God's standards, He stood, and so will you. So please hang on, and please hold on, brother, sister, when life is tough. Now let me finish. If you're a Christian, we said today, your life will become completely about what God wants to show and say to the world around you about himself as he works in you and through you. What he wants to say and do, just like in Jeremiah's day, is unstoppable. It does involve great change of heart, great change of life, and it will be opposed and secured by him. Now let me finish by one more thing in this passage that I think is worth pointing out. Have you noticed that when God calls Jeremiah in the early part, he said, Jeremiah, this is really cool. It's very cool. I'm going to appoint you as a prophet to the nations. This is a global kind of a scope in what he's being called to do. Right? A little bit later on, he says, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and plant. But how does that work? Because the reality is, Jeremiah dies in Egypt under exile, where he's rejected and despised by all these people. I'm struck when I look at all of the prophetic history and you look at Israel, and as Christians, often we read our Bibles and we think, wow, yeah, they were the center of the earth and a really big deal, God's people and his covenant people and Israel and so on. You know what? That's not true. They were nothing. They're a speck of dust on the global stage. The great powers of the day, Persia, Babylon, Egypt, that's where it's at. It's where the money is at. It's where the big global conflicts are at. It's where the big armies are at. Nobody cares about Israel. Nobody. They're nothing. Utterly, utterly nothing. Nobody cares about the church today. Bring it to your life and my life. I mean, if Jeremiah's words and calling to know God and show God to the world is true and to nations and kingdoms, then it flows that it's true for you too as a Christian and as a church. What we say to the world and what we speak to the world is for the nations. It's for the kingdoms. It is for a global scope. And yet the church is nothing. Absolutely nothing. Church doesn't control geopolitics. Church doesn't control the global economy. Church has absolutely nothing to do or say in the world as far as we can see. So what is it that God is on about here? What is he saying? What does this mean? Well, here's what it means, I think, and here's why it's important and why it's very encouraging. Nations rise and nations fall. Empires rise and empires fall. Geopolitical superpowers rise and they fall, but not God and his word and his kingdom. At the end of history, when it's all wrapped up, you know the one thing that has endured from the beginning right through to the end? It's the word of the weakest child who can say, God made us. God loves us. God rules through his King, Jesus. God is the one who's going to have the final say. That little child who will speak this wonderful words of faith at the end of history obliterates the greatest superpower or kingdom or philosophy or anything that has ever lived in the world. How wonderful that God would work through such weakness. I love how in Ephesians, Paul writes this in Ephesians 3 verse 10. It reads this, it says that God's intent was that his manifold wisdom should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Right? How does he do it? His church. So you need to know that the business of your life, knowing God and showing God, is connected to what he's doing in eternity, in history. Time is going to reveal that your faith and your words, or rather the one in whom you believe and whose words you speak, that one is going to be the winner over human history. See the scope, the weight, the size, and the consequences of your faith. And so speak confidently, certainly, that you know that God made you, God formed you, God loves you, and he set you apart to know him and to show him. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom may it come. Your will may it be done. Your name may it be made great on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.